I'm Bill Preston. My work is published under William Preston. Most of my work has appeared in Asimov's science fiction. I consider myself a writer of whatever it is that comes to me, and a lot of the times that's speculative fiction.
This is a continuing episode of a series with William Preston about Tales of the Old Man. The series started at episode 307. If you got behind, go to the archives to catch up.
Well, you're going to hear a reading from my fifth and final old man story, which is called To Make an End. And it's not absolutely necessary to read all four other stories, but there are elements of each of those stories that connects to this final story. So I highly recommend it. And that's not just for my own benefit, but for yours as a reader, so that you have the full context for what these characters are going through. This story, which takes place, 15 years? No, more than 20 years after the end of the previous old man story. And it's in our future as well, which I try to catch you up on as we go through the story. We start the story with Shoshana and her brother Isaac, he's teenaged. They've plunged into this underground chamber and they've set free the character of the old man, who we know from the other stories. And he's been sealed in some kind of stasis capsule. Isaac has believed in this quest for years, but Shoshana hasn't believed that the old man even existed outside pulp stories until this evening. And so that's the end of chapter one, and I'm going to read from chapter two. The chapter two is entitled Made Weak by Time and Fate. And they're watching the old man recover from being released from this capsule. Neither sibling saw what he did at the platform, but it dropped into the floor and the floor slid closed. Steps from where the platform had stood, an oval bureau topped by a computer screen rose up. The screen flashed, flickered, and came to life. Colorful icons, too small for the Hochsteins to make out, appeared against a dark background. With his right hand, the old man touched the screen in several spots at once. His left hand opened a drawer to extract a slender plastic bottle. Still with one hand on the screen, he unscrewed the lid, took a capsule into his palm, and replaced the lid. Isaac's fingers twitched in attempted emulation. His father had tried to teach him a few sleight-of-hand tricks with cards and coins, but Isaac could never master such deftness. "You're too focused on watching yourself," his father had said several times. "The aim is to fool the other person. You can't fool yourself." Isaac had thought that wasn't true, though it often came to mind. The capsule went in the old man's mouth. He said, "Vitamins." But he might have been talking to the screen, from which he now lifted his other hand. A silver faucet and wash basin emerged from the bureau's side. At a gesture, water ran. Isaac wondered how long that water had waited in the pipes. Water should run for a full minute before it was drinkable. Too soon for Isaac's comfort, the old man bent to the faucet to gulp. Another drawer, a cloth to towel his face, more work at the screen, more touches to the console. Isaac's attention did not waver, but Shoshana's did, settling on the tunnel that had led them here. They had been careful, but that meant nothing. They had found the old man. Impossible. But now they might themselves be found. Numbers filled the computer display. Both hands hurried over the surface as the numbers rapidly changed. Beaded water continued to slide down the old man's naked back. He made one final tap at the screen, then opened another drawer and withdrew a stack of clothing. I'm pleased to inform you, though you likely knew this, that I am not inside an elaborate computer simulation. Both siblings looked elsewhere as the old man dressed. It was my one concern, that and never waking up. Two concerns. He paused. There was a third. We could have told you we were real, Isaac said. Buttoning a beige shirt, the old man stepped close. Isaac had learned to read his sister's expressions, but new people took time, and this face, it was like no other. It wasn't only the age. Most people's eyes did one of two things, look inward or look outward. These eyes did both at once in a face that seemed too still. Was that kindness? Anger? The wrinkles added to the inscrutability. Albert Rees, the mental manipulator, had the ability to create believable imagery merely by speaking to you. You couldn't distinguish what was real from what he imagined for you. Isaac wanted to speak, but had too many questions. Shoshana shifted one foot, a soft scraping sound. How did you defeat him? The old man turned, but looked around the chamber rather than at her. I truly don't recall. She followed his gaze as it lingered on the chamber's edge, but there was nothing to see. He rolled one sleeve to his elbow. I've known beings who live inside the solid layers of the earth. Their exhalations provoke vivid hallucinations. I used to hear them constantly, like a radio playing in another room. I saw what they saw, events that might happen, but more likely events that bled through from elsewhere. I don't hear them now. My long absence might have cost me that connection. He stood on tiptoe. I once funded government research into special mental abilities, looking for people who could tap into the consciousness of others. He settled back to his souls. I'm talking too much. And it's 2031. Can you connect to the wave? Shoshana asked. And at the same time, Isaac said, you've been in here since when? What's the wave? The internet after the internet, Isaac said. After Firefall, the solar flare. No, we're sealed away here, for security. Shoshana saw that this made him think of something, but he busied himself again at the bureau. A remarkable quantity of necessities emerged from the drawers, including a bag into which he palmed objects his huge hand obscured. He knelt to put on rubbery shoes, then stood with studied slowness, looking at his feet. He brought what might have been a playing card close to his face, moved it away, drew it close again. We thought this might happen. Now he plucked forth eyeglasses, square and full-rimmed. He tugged on the ear fittings, which appeared flexible, squinted at the card, then set the glasses back. Two attempts later, he slid a pair farther down his nose and said, "That works." Isaac said, "There were robot spiders." The old man regarded him over the spectacles, through them, over again. "Cleaners. It took too long to open the capsule." He slipped his glasses into his shirt pocket and once more pressed a towel to his face. The system mistook you for debris. The cycle... He draped the towel on the basin's edge. You didn't know the procedure. Shoshana pointed where the tuning fork had been. We followed the instructions. Lopez's humor, he said, as if that made things clear. You got lucky. If you'd taken too long, defensive systems would have kicked in. You're saying no one sent you. We sent us. Isaac said. This was mostly my brother. We followed the signs. I figured out your puzzle. We've been looking for years. It took 2 years of serious searching, Isaac said. We should have started sooner. The old man sought something in each of their faces. Each of the Hochsteins expected a different question than the one he asked. Why? Shoshana thought to begin with one event, but then she considered what preceded it, and then what preceded that. You've missed a lot, she said. But it wasn't only that. She and her brother had their own story. Everything's terrible, her brother said. Really, it was the disappearances that prompted my brother, she said. Maybe that's minor compared to everything else. Who has disappeared? Thousands, she said. But before the word was done, her brother said, so loudly she flinched, our parents. The only sound then was her brother breathing loudly through his nose. He might have been headed for tears. Shoshana thought of drones slipping overhead and the hole in the hill. They had both disabled their wide gray wristbands, their connections to the wave, but she glanced at hers anyway. Shouldn't we be going? We certainly should. Can't we do things from your base? Isaac asked. This isn't a base. We can go to our house, Isaac said. Shoshana didn't like the sound of it, bringing this stranger with them, even if he were some kind of heroic figure. Who's there? It's just us in the house. We're renting for a month. The town's about 3 miles. He pointed in what he knew to be the proper direction. Town. There was no town that close when we built this. The siblings could not resist exchanging a look. The old man pursed his lips. What aren't you telling me? Isaac said, the town is here because you were seen near here. People live here, Shoshana said, because they've been hoping you'd come back. There are, I don't know, dozens of these towns across the country, a few in other countries. It's a small movement. South Africa, Korea. Shoshana said, look, I'm worried they're going to find us. The old man pointed as Isaac had done. People from the town. Yes and no. Whoever's got drones flying overhead. Maybe someone in town's doing it. We've been here only a few days. 10 days, Isaac said. The other sites have drones, too. We've been all over. We've been following the clues. Even Isaac could see the old man was dissatisfied with these answers. Suddenly, there was too much spit in Isaac's mouth. It tasted awful. When we get back to the house, Shoshana said, we can use the wave and explain. I'd advise against any trackable lines of communication. Could you have been followed? Isaac put up his hand. We bought these stealth suits to hide us. He tapped his black necklace and the suit slipped over him. The old man said nothing. Isaac recollapsed the suit. We brought one for you. They fit themselves to the user. Shoshana pulled another set of black links from the bag clipped to a belt loop. Perfunctorily, the old man clipped the links around his neck. Shoshana saw something occur to him. Did you reseal the entrance? He asked. It's open, Shoshana said, while Isaac said, it's just a boulder. The old man headed toward the tunnel, Shoshana calling out in few instructions about the suit. He paused at the opening, engaged the suit, and smoothly pulled himself up. Shoshana gestured her brother ahead of her. Lamps off, she said. They both restored their suits and followed the old man, who had not waited. The way up seemed shorter. And ahead of him, Isaac could see the old man climbing toward the pale glow of the night sky. Isaac emerged to find the old man facing the town. Shoshana came up beside him. There's a marker on the stone, she said, switching to night vision, but momentarily disoriented. I have it, the old man said, already heading downhill. He squatted on the stone's far side. Isaac hurried to join him. Once they had lowered the boulder, the old man crawled around its perimeter. He set his hands and shoulder against the stone to make what appeared to be a minor adjustment. Shoshana thought how incautious they had been the previous night, and perhaps on every night they'd ventured into these hills or gone on nighttime excursions in other cities and towns. The old man began walking. Tell me everything while we move. Can I start once we're down the hill? Shoshana asked, wanting to focus on the descent. He didn't reply, so she took a few steps, then halted abruptly. The old man blocked her path. You said, the town is here for me, he said, but you don't want anyone in town to know you've found me. That's right, Shoshana said. Isaac raised both hands as if presenting a marvel. We're the apostates.
Cool. Very nice. Yeah, I had to look up apostates because I couldn't quite remember what that was, but that actually made it very interesting by re-looking that word up and like, okay, now I know that the rest of the story will make that clear about why they're the apostates, because that was a nice...
The non-believers, although they believed in him, but not in the narrative that's being disseminated. Yeah,
right. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if you end the section on that. Do you literally end the section?
That's the end of that chapter.
Okay, and that's a powerful ending because I had time to stop reading, look up apostate, think about what that meant.
Yeah,
probably thought about it for a good few minutes, and then what that probably meant, and then. Yeah, I was ready, primed up for the next part of the next chapter.
Well, you know, that was definitely a part of how the story was constructed, keeping in mind pulp narrative beats. You want to end in some way on something that's like right before a commercial break, something that's right, you know, that feels a little more dramatic than what's around it. And in other fiction, you don't necessarily have to do that. But I do feel like since I'm writing something that's at least indebted to pulp narratives, that you ought to, as much as possible, try to structure it in a way that mimics that kind of suspense and adventure narrative.
You have, and I was curious about this, one of the main characters is Shoshana?
Yes. It's Shoshana and Isaac Hochstein are the main characters. They're your point of view characters.
Right, right. And so I was thinking, like, wow, we're dealing with some Jewish culture in here. I wonder where the story is going to go. And I was thinking to myself, oh, maybe this came in because of what was in the author's mind during the what's happening in Gaza, or it could be something else. You know, I wasn't really conclusively clear on that. But do you want to speak to that?
Their Jewishness certainly comes up in the story. You know, this story was imagined, well, again, a decade ago. The initial main characters, I always had somebody finding the old man and bringing him back in this future world that has reached some sort of catastrophic point or has gone through some catastrophes. And I didn't initially have those two. And at a certain, but I don't remember when I did, but it's certainly been quite a few years since I created those two characters. And they're really secular Jews. That comes up in the story. And it also served as a contrast, because they're secularly Jewish, their experience of ritual worship, and this comes up in the story, is limited to the High Holy Days primarily. So what they find within this kind of cult that's developed around the old man, it's very much formatted around Christian, Protestant, evangelical ritual in which people give a testimony about their experience, and they're not testifying to religious belief, but they're testifying to how the old man has been in their lives. And in I think in the case that I have someone talk about in the story, he talks about it being for his father. So there's this notion of, like, well, the old man is this character who's been around for a very long time, and he's had this tremendous impact, and how we talk about that has changed, and what has he meant for different generations of people. So that gets me again into that sort of, like, tradition of pulp storytelling and just how we tell stories about things. But it also got me into the sort of churchiness of the behavior of these folks, and the way in which, I mean, you see it in the way in which certain political rallies of any political stripe can feel like a religious event, can feel like a church event. It relies on emotion. And that's part of what these people are dealing with, too, is that they're responding emotionally, not necessarily intellectually, to disruptive experiences around them. And because Isaac and Shoshana don't have this background in sort of evangelical Protestant worship, it looks even stranger to them. So they're aware that, like, we're outsiders to this, not only in terms of how we understand the old man, but culturally, what is this? You know, again, if you're raised as a secular Jew, there are things about Christian worship you might think you understand, but then you, like, go to a baptism, full immersion baptism, you're like, well, what are people doing? What exactly is that? Or you go to something like people speaking in tongues, which, again, if you've come out of anything that's even touched with Pentecostalist Protestantism, you've experienced it, you've seen it. And they wouldn't have seen that kind of thing. So it made them outsiders in a way that I thought was important.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a good tactical reason to have them cast that way. And I was trying to come up with a background, real world situation about why they're there. But that's not it at all. It was a casting decision for the storytelling part. Yeah.
Right. But I think it's important because you saw something there, and I can say, like, well, that wasn't there in my intention, but that's okay. I mean, your stories are going to be around. Stories get written within a certain context. Stories get read within a certain context, right. Not just in terms of the world, but in terms of your particular experience of the world. And so how you're going to see that in terms of the current political moment, you're going to be reacting to those things differently. And that's exactly what should happen.
So
Sci-Fi Thoughts wants to expand. We want to grow from not just your podcast player, but to spread to your coworkers, your family, and your friends.
But I haven't got any friends.
Why, you little... One, two, three. Oh, no, you don't. We know you've got friends who are into the science, who are into science fiction. These are the people who are playing Halo and Stellaris and other space games instead of watching college football. There are the ones in the NASA t-shirts who are busy inventing something with their 3D printers. Email them a link to this podcast. Send them a social media request. Heck, even speak to them and tell them that you've enjoyed the show. The main point is to impress upon them how much you enjoy Sci-Fi Thoughts. Tell them to go to the URL scifithoughts.space. Don't keep Sci-Fi Thoughts secret, because keeping secrets from science fiction fans just isn't nice.
We've got goodies in the show notes. Check them out, and you will find links where you can find Tales of the Old Man, stories from William Preston, among other things such as his blue sky profile. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. But if you downloaded this from a website, then you can just go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see the show notes there. The series started at episode 307. If you're like my friend Dale Stewart and you missed the first episode, go back to scifithoughts.space and type into the search box 307, and you will find the start of the series there. Next episode, more William Preston. Why is this the last old man story? Now, I mean, don't go into about the plot or spoilers, but you know, right. Why did you decide when you, I assume when you wrote this, you probably thought, okay, this is going to be the last one.